I want to invite you to take your Bible and join me in turning to the book of Acts, the first chapter, Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Some of you may remember that this was the scripture reading from this morning, not the sermon text, but the scripture reading. And I want to come back to that, to this passage. This morning, I used Acts 1, 1 through 11, at least in part, referred to it, as an example of how at times we need to wait on the Lord and how we need to be patient, and sometimes we get in trouble when we're not patient, we don't wait on the Lord. And so I use this as an illustration of how the disciples were called upon to wait until the Spirit came, and then he came on at Pentecost. But there's much more. There's a time to wait, but there's also a time to act. And if anything, this passage really is more about the acting after the waiting than it is about the waiting itself. So I want to read it and then just share four words. Well, not literally just four words, but four points. I want you to remember them under four words. Let's read Acts 1, verses 1 through 11. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. What was that first book? The Gospel of Luke, exactly. This was written by Luke the physician. Until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Now go what you're supposed to do. Well, I added that part. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful again for an opportunity to gather and to hear from you through your word. Father, we pray that you would teach us. We pray, Lord, that you would rebuke us, that you would correct us, that you would train us. We pray, Father, that we would increase in our understanding of your word, but more importantly, that we would increase in our embracing and application of your word to our lives. Lord, we desperately need your help. We desperately need for your Holy Spirit to cleanse us and to shape us, to empower us, to give us desires that we want but don't have, give us abilities that we need but are without. We pray, Father, that you would cause us to be faithful and effective for the cause of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. The four words I'm going to give you are promise, power, purpose, and plan. Promise, power, purpose, and plan. First, promise. Verses 4 and 5. While staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." This is a promise that Jesus had given to his disciples many times. We see a number of times in the Gospel of John, for example, John chapter 14, verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Verse 26, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And that's why we have the scriptures. That's why we have the word of God, because he fulfilled that promise. And then John 16, verses 7 through 14. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. We'll read the rest of that later. But those are just places where the Lord promised to send the Holy Spirit to his people. And he ordered them to depart, not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait. Guess what? We don't have to wait. We do not have to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. He came. He came at Pentecost. And now he indwells all of the Lord's people. The disciples did two things in response to what Jesus told them to do. Number one, they waited. They waited. But the second thing they did, which we do need to do, is they prayed. If we look down a little further, we didn't read it, but in verse 14 of Acts 1, we read, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. Now, they were praying, and out of that, they chose an apostle, a disciple, to replace Judas. But then they continued to pray, and they were praying on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was sent. We don't have to wait anymore, but we do need to pray. We still need to pray. We don't need to pray for the Holy Spirit to come. He is here. But we need to pray for his filling. We need to pray. We need to spend much time in prayer. Why? Because we have a tendency to become self-sufficient and independent. We have a tendency. Our natural tendency is not to be dependent upon the Lord, but it is to begin to look to our own devices, our own abilities, our planning, our resources, whatever it may be, and we just have a tendency to trust unwittingly, subconsciously in ourselves. And the way we fight that is through prayer. Prayer is an acknowledgement to the Lord that we are not sufficient, that we need him. And one of the things that we should do in prayer is ask for the Lord to empower us by his Holy Spirit, to fill us with his Spirit. So we still need to be patient, but not for the Holy Spirit to come, but for the Holy Spirit to fill us, for us to be willing vessels of the Holy Spirit. The second word is the word power. The promise is for the Holy Spirit, and he has come, and we can depend on him. We can pray for his filling. But then the second word, power. Jesus says, in response to the disciples' question, they were still wanting for Jesus to be the Messiah they had hoped for and set up his kingdom. And he said, it's not time. He says, they say in verse 6, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. Isn't it amazing the number of people who are still trying to determine times and seasons? Jesus said, it's not for you to know. That's in the Father's hands. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Again, back to John chapter 16, beginning in verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Two aspects of the Spirit's ministry here that Jesus focuses on. First is his ministry to convict the world through the disciples, that he would convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And the Holy Spirit still does that. Apart from the Spirit's working in power to convict people of sin, no one would be saved. No one would come to faith in Christ. But then there's the other ministry that the Holy Spirit engaged in for the apostles, and that was to remind them of the Lord's word and lead them into all truth. Again, as I said earlier, that's why we have the Gospels, and that's why we have the New Testament, is because the Lord fulfilled that word, that promise. He empowered, he inspired these men to have the word of God. But he also, the Holy Spirit, empowers us for two primary purposes. He empowers us in order that we may live for Christ, in order that we may have the power that we need for sin to be restrained and for us to grow in Christ likeness. There's a reason why love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, those characteristics mentioned in Galatians 5:22 and 23, it's a reason why they're called the fruit of the Spirit, right? Because he's the one who produces them in our lives. He is the only reason. Using the Word of God and using the Church of God and using other means, the Holy Spirit is the only reason why you are any more like Christ now than you were when you got saved or than you were previously. It is totally dependent, not upon your ability to memorize Scripture. It's not dependent upon your ability to even spend long, you know, a lot of time in prayer or to do many, many things. It is totally dependent upon the Spirit's power. Now, he uses these means, but he is the one who empowers us. But then, you know, I want to be careful when I say this. I think I'm right. You can search the Scriptures for yourselves. In the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit empowered people. And in the Lord's words here, when we see the Holy Spirit empowering people, it's not to make them more like Christ. Now, that's not saying he didn't do that. He empowered them to be witnesses. Notice what Jesus says. That leads us to the purpose. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You see, why is the power given? Because God's purpose is that his people be witnesses, that we be evangelists, that we be conduits of the gospel message. In John 20, verses 21 and 22. Well, let me back up to verse 20. When he, Jesus, had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Why? So they could do what he had called them to do. So that they could be sent as the Father had sent him. Now we often focus on the Spirit's empowering for personal victory. And certainly we need that. We as I indicated, we cannot have spiritual victory over sin without the Spirit's power. There's nothing wrong with that. But here, Jesus links power with witnessing, with being evangelists for the Lord. And throughout, really, the book of Acts, that's what we see again and again and again. People were filled with the Spirit to speak the word of God. 3,000 were saved at Pentecost because of the power of the Holy Spirit and the witness of those who were empowered, who were filled with the Spirit. In Acts 8, the Ethiopian eunuch was saved because Philip was led by the Spirit to the place where the Ethiopian eunuch was so that he could witness to him. Paul was saved because Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, witnessed to Christ. And Paul witnessed that and then later was struck by Jesus on the Damascus Road. Cornelius and his household were saved because Peter, led by the Spirit, witnessed. We could go on and on and on again. There, in order for there to be salvation, there must be a witness, a telling of the gospel. And that is linked to the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Now, well, let me go on to the last word. And that's the plan. Jesus said, "And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." Now, these were the first disciples, and that's where they lived. They lived in Jerusalem. But Jesus said, not just Jerusalem, but also all Judea and then Samaria. You know, beyond there, even into difficult places, places you'd rather not go, but beyond that to the ends of the earth, the remotest part of the earth. And what we see, if you read the book of Acts with discernment, you'll see that the first part of the book of Acts shows the disciples being faithful witnesses in Jerusalem. That's where the church begins in the first seven chapters. Then the Lord wants to get them out of Jerusalem because he said Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and so on and so forth. So he sends persecution to get the church to do what he told them to do. Empower them to be witnesses. So then they get out of Jerusalem, all except the apostles, and all of those who left preached, it says. That's what Scripture says. So then we have them going about and witnessing in chapters 8 through 12. We see Philip, we see others sharing the gospel. And then the last part of the book of Acts, chapters 13 through 28, we see the gospel being extended to the then known world, basically, through primarily the Apostle Paul and his associates. The point I want us to see here is that we are to be witnesses. God's plan includes the world. For all of us. For all of us. How do we know that his plan for us includes only our family or our friends or our neighborhood or our town? How do I know that it is God's plan for me to be a witness only where I want to go? How do I know that? Where is the verse, the passage that tells me that I'm only to be a witness where it's comfortable? Where my job is, where my family is. Now, certainly we are to be witnesses there. But where does it say, what passage can I point to that countermands the Great Commission that says, make disciples of all nations, or here, you'll be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth? Where does it say that I need a special call to obey what God has already said? Just think about it. Just think about it. There's a time to wait, but there's a time to act. And the time to act is now. Because Jesus told the disciples, wait till I send the Holy Spirit. Well, he's sent. So now, the promise is connected to power. The power is connected to purpose. The purpose is connected to the plan. So if we want to experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit, we need to understand that it's connected to God's purpose for us to be witnesses to the ends of the earth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, my prayer is that the only words that would be remembered tonight are your words that are true. But Father, I pray that we would not evade or avoid what you have told us, what you have commanded us. Father, we pray that you would help us to obey all of your word. We thank you, Lord, that Christ suffered and died and is coming again. He was raised and ascended and is coming again. And we have the opportunity to celebrate that tonight. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to do it as not perfect people, but obedient people. We pray this in Jesus' name.